Welcome to the Shia, Sfarno Pashas Truma. Last night we spoke about the Sfarno's comments at length about the Kruvim, the Kapores, the Oron, and again, to sum up the 30-second summary of last night, the Oron represents the Talmud Chacham. It's placed in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, which represents the province of the Talmidei Chachamim. The Kodesh, the area right outside of the Kodesh Kodashim, represents the masses of the Jewish people. The Talmidei Chachamim and the Kodesh HaKodashim have to connect with the masses of people in the Kodesh. The Kapores, the covering on the Aron, represents the Neshama, which is connected to the body but not fully attached to it. And the Kruvim represent the focus of what the neshama is supposed to be focused on. Their focus, their eyes or faces are somewhat downwards, looking towards the Aron, the repository of Torah. The neshama has to be focused on Torah and the acquisition of Torah in this world. And yet the malachim, the kruvim, have their wings spread upwards, to indicate that if a person focuses on Torah in this world, it will bring him in an upwards direction. The Sfarno quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Arachayim lamalam lamalaskil, that the way of life is above the person who is a discerning and a wise person. It brings him upwards towards Olam Haba, towards the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a nutshell, that's what the Kapores, the Kruvim, the Aron are supposed to represent. It was a little bit more than a 30-second summary, but hopefully you'll be meichel me the extra minutes. There's more on the topic of Kruvim a little bit further on in Pasuk Chof. The comments that we had from the Sfarno earlier related to the Pasuk V'asuli Mikdash V'shochanti V'socham. A little bit later on in Pasuk Chaf, where it describes the Kaparis and the Kruvim, the Pasuk says, we quoted this last night, V'hoyu ha-Kruvim parsei chnofayim l'malo, the Kruvim will have their wings spread out upwards, sochechim b'chanfeyam al ha-Kaparis, covering with their wings over the Kaparis, ufneyam yishalachiv, and they faced one another, towards the Kapores were the faces of the Kruvim. So on that, we have the following comment, which fits in with a lot of what we spoke about last night. It sort of elaborates on it. Writes the Sfarno, Kvar be'eru hanavim. The Nevi'im tell us, Shamalachim b'mari hanavu anirm lachozim kidmus Kruvim. We touched on this last night a little bit. When prophets have a prophetic vision, Malachim appear to those prophets like Kruvim. Meaning, just to, again, to point out what we pointed out last night, Rashi understands, he quotes the Maimer Chazal, that Kruvim have the faces of little children. You don't find any mention of that in this Sfarno. He says Malachim can appear in different forms, right? We mentioned last night the Malachim come to Avram Avinu, beginning of Parshas Vayera, they look like human beings. But when Malachim appear in a Mara Nevuah, when they appear in a prophetic vision, the image that they have is Kruvim. In other words, when Yeshaya Hanavi says, Srafim Omdim Imalo, I saw a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Srafim were standing above him, so those Srafim appear to be like Kruvim. What are Kruvim? Vehem Pnei Odom, Kruvim have a human face, Velohem knofayim, and they have wings. Uvechol ze yoru inyan haseichel hanivdol, asher kol hilucho litzad malo. Malachim symbolize the seichel hanivdol, the intelligence which is separate from the person. Again, to describe in general terms what that means, let's substitute the word neshama. Person has a neshama, which is an intellectual entity, a spiritual intellectual entity. It can be separated from man, as we spoke about yesterday. It pre-exists before it's placed into the body. After the body dies, the neshama still exists and exists on its own outside of the body. So the malachim, i.e. the kruvim, represent that neshama, that seichel hanivdal, that separate intelligence, asher kol hilucho litzad malo. Everything this neshama is looking to accomplish is towards the heavens. It looks to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh habit el ha'elokim. The neshama wants to be able to gaze, as it were, at the Ribbono Shel Olam. Haskel v'yodoa osa. To have the intelligence to be able to discern and understand something of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haskel v'yodoa osi is the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which the Sfarno has borrowed for his purposes. Different neshamas have different abilities in terms of their capability of comprehending Hashem, of connecting to Hashem, but every neshama ultimately wants to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the symbolism of the kruvim stretching out their wings. Kibios haseichol ha'enoshi seichol b'koach al ha'shlemus ha'sheni asher yikneu ba'asoso klolim v'yafshitei mechomer lahaskiu v'lodas esboro kifi ha'efshar. What does the neshama want to do in this world? It wants to be able to address the physical world that is around the neshama and to somehow extrapolate from that physical world, klolim, basic principles. What are basic principles in this context? The basic principles of trying to understand how God's kedusha and God's spirituality functions in this world. That's what the neshama wants to do in trying to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you do that? So the Sfarno is very unequivocal. V'zeh ya'aseh behabit nifla'os mitorasa. The neshama draws close to Hashem and comprehends Hashem by looking into Torah and by appreciating the glories, the wonders that are part of the Torah. It's interesting to contrast this phrase of the Sfarno, this phrase, by the way, from the Sfarno, "Bahabit niflaos mitoroso," is based, as we know, on a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, "Galei nai v'habito niflaos mitorosecha," just uncover my eyes, and I'll be able to see some of the wondrous things in your Torah. So that, you know, that idea of "Bahabit niflaos mitoroso," of looking at the wonders of the Torah, is based on that pasuk in Tehillim. But it's interesting to contrast this line in the Sfarno with the famous passage in the Rambam in the beginning of Mishneh Torah, where the Rambam says, how does a person come to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? By looking at the world that God created. So the Sfarno is not talking about looking at the world that God created, not being inspired by the world that God created. The Sfarno is saying, no, you look in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. That's the true way, the ultimate way, that we can draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamoros b'mofes plo'os ma'aso v'darchei tuvo. When we learn Torah, it shows us the wondrous ways of Hashem and how Hashem's ways are all ways of goodness. In other words, Torah gives us a little bit of an insight into Hashem's ways as being good. That's not only true if you learn a Musar Sefer, but if you learn Halacha, and you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the halacha tries to make things work out well for everyone. You know, that if you have money that belongs to somebody else in your possession, you have to give it back. You know, and all of the halachas that are concerned, that are part of Choshen Mishpat and Evin Ezer and whatnot, learning those halachas gives you some insight into the ways of Hashem and the goodness of Hashem. Ki omnom mahus hadavir tsuraso tivad alar mitzad pulosav. The way we can truly understand someone or something is to look at that act, the actions. V'zeh yikreh laseichel ha'enoshi kishiyaskil mimitzius abori yisbarach es ha'efshar etzlo. When the human mind is able to comprehend a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that brings us closer to Hashem. The more we can understand about Hashem on whatever level we can, the closer it brings us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the kruvim, porsei chnofayim lamalo, they lifted up their wings upwards, because their aim is to try to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the learning of Torah. Then he adds the following. Ukvar amru shahakruvim zocher nekeva hayu. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph, writes that the two kruvim were male and female respectively. And we know if you take a look in that Gemara over there in Yuma, it describes how the fact that the kruvim were male and female made the Jews the subject of mockery by those who conquered the Beis HaMikdash and destroyed Yerushalayim. Really? In the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, you have an image of a male and a female looking at one another, again, sometimes embracing one another, as per the Gemara. It seems very out of place with everything that Yiddishkeit teaches. So how do you understand the fact that the Kruvim were Zohar and Akeva, that they were male and female? So he says, the Svarim gives the following interesting pshat. Hamorim pu'ulas hamsoas haklolim ufshotim. The idea that the Kruvim were male and female is representative of the acquisition of knowledge of Hashem. Okay, what does that mean? Shehi ki pu'ulas hazochar hamamtsiyo umorim kabolas oso mufshotim shehi ki pu'ulas hanikeva. The Svara over here alludes to an idea that finds its expression in other aspects of Torah literature, particularly, and again, I don't speak with first-hand knowledge, but certainly with a little bit of second-hand knowledge, particularly in those Svarim that quote from Sifrei Kabbalah. Zohar and Nekeva are not merely male and female in the physical sense of the term, but a Zohar, a male, represents the idea of a Nosein, one who gives, and a Nekeva represents the idea of a Mekabel, of one who receives. That idea, really, you find already to some extent in the Gemara. The Gemara just talks about in a very simple sense. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah talks about when you have a rod that's inserted into, you have two rods that are inserted one into another. One rod has a sharp edge. The other rod has a receptacle. So the Gemara refers to those rods as Zohar and Nekeva respectively. Now obviously the rods don't have gender, right? There's not a male rod and a female rod in the conventional sense of the term. But insofar as one rod is giving and the other rod is a receptacle, it receives. So the way that those were referred to were as Zohar and Nekeva, because that's essentially the way the Zohar and Nekeva are set up as well. What's that? So Gavrin Cheftza means a person versus a thing, right? So that's a distinction also that the Gemara makes in Nedarim. But you know the Zohar and Nekeva are both Gavras, you know. So, you know, that's we don't want to distinguish between the Zohar and the Nekeva in that regard. But their function is a little bit different. In other words, the Zohar gives, the Nekeva receives. Right. Right, so there are a lot of parallels in the way the world was set up as well, and some of the Mefarshim at the beginning of Bereishis make reference to this. You know, the rain coming down from the heavens and being absorbed by the ground is sometimes referred to as an act similar to a Zohar and an Akeva. In other words, anything which is perceived as a giver can be described as a Zohar. Anything which is perceived as a nekeva, as a receiver, can be described as a nekeva. They're not exclusively meant to describe the male and female in a biological sense, but in a broader sense, zohar and nekeva refer to the act of giving and the act of receiving. Again, we understand biologically why zohar and nekeva are associated with giving and receiving, but it can be expanded beyond the realm of the purely biological. Here too as well, there are two steps in the acquisition of knowledge of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, the knowledge has to be extracted, and then the knowledge has to be absorbed. Right? It's not a simple process. The knowledge has to be abstracted from where it is, where it's not readily understood. Again, if you're looking into Torah and you're trying to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning Torah, so you have to be able to read between the lines to extract the knowledge from Torah and to, you know, take out that which is implicit and make it explicit. That giving, that extracting from that which is absorbed, is considered to be a process of zachar. And the act of receiving, of being able to absorb that knowledge, is an act which can be described as an act of nekeva, of reception. So the zachar and nekeva of the kruvim are meant to represent the process of acquisition of knowledge. It has nothing to do with, you know, a biological relationship between a zachar and a keva. Again, it's all a mashal of sorts. It's all a symbolic representation of what it means to be able to get knowledge. It's a process to be able to get knowledge. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen like that. There's a process of extraction and then a process of absorption. And, you know, those two steps in the process are represented by the idea of making the kruvim, representing knowledge, as being a zachar and a nekeva. Va'omar ufneim ishel achiv. And that's why it says that in addition to the kruvim looking towards the aron, which we spoke about before, in other words, the source of how they acquire knowledge ultimately rests in Torah, so too the kruvim are looking at one another. Ki pu'ulas hamtsoas haklolim v'hav shotosom tabit usichavein al pu'ulas kabolas haklolim hamufshotim mechomer. Because essentially, as we said before, it's a two-step process, and the two partners, the extraction of the knowledge and the reception of the knowledge, have to work together. It's only through both aspects, both stages in the acquisition of Torah knowledge, that true perfection can be received by the individual. So the Zachar and the Keva are looking at one another because these two steps have to work together in that acquisition.
What's the connection between this that was being described and the human being? And is that the neshama?
Right. So the Sfano is saying that the whole kaporis, you know, the covering on top of the aron, and the kruvim represent the neshama. The kruvim specifically represent the act of acquiring Torah knowledge, which is the goal of the neshama. And the way Torah knowledge is acquired is through this two-step process, first of being to analyze and extract the knowledge from Torah, and then to absorb it into the person's neshama, into absorb it inside. And that two-step process he's describing is something similar to a zachar nekeva, male-female kind of process, where the male is giving over and the female is able to receive in that way. Right, so that's, you know, that's again, what the Svarno is doing, just in a nutshell, is he's taking these kelim, he's taking these vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, he's focused really on the aron, the kaparis, and the kruvim so far, and he's explaining how they're not just aesthetically nice. You know, it's not just like, wow, okay, what a stunning piece of furniture that's here in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim. You know, there's a tremendous symbolism to every aspect of these kelim, and again, although we've only discussed one keli in particular, one vessel in particular, we can understand that the same is true for all of the various kelim. So he continues this idea. The next pasuk in Chaf Aleph, v'nosata es hakaporis al ha'aron milmola, you should place the kaporis on top of the aron. And in the aron, you'll have the luchos, the testimony which I gave you. Right? So, all of what we've spoken about before is yusag kol zeh, all of this can be achieved. In other words, the neshama being able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, behabit el ha'edus asher ba'aron, by looking, by contemplating the edus, the luchos, which is in the aron, asher alav hakaporis, right? Which the aron has the kaporis on top of it. Ki onam ba'edus shehem adibros nimsoim klali achelik ha'ayuni v'hamasi. Because the dibros, the Ten Commandments, which are inside the aron, summarize all of the Torah itself, both theoretical and practical. And here we have an idea that Rashi mentions in his commentary on Chumash. He says it b'shem Rav Sadia Gaon, others mention it as well, that the Aseres HaDibros essentially are a summary of the entire Torah. So, you know, if one looks at the Luchos, if they're focused on the Luchos, they're ultimately looking at the Torah in its entirety. And then in Chof Beis, finally the last pasuk in this section, with this we'll end off, the pasuk says, V'no'adati l'chosham, says Hashem, I will appear to you there, between the kruvim, v'dibarti t'cho mi'al ha'kaparis v'bein shnei ha'kruvim asher al aron ho'edus. When I speak to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I will speak to you from between the kruvim, which are on the kaparis, which is on top of the aron, all of the mitzvos, all of the communications to Moshe Rabbeinu are filtered, you know, in contemporary times we say that the Wi-Fi, you know, was processed through the Kruvim. You know, whatever it means, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came through the Kruvim to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So before we saw the Sfarna, we might have thought, well, that's kind of arbitrary. In other words, why would the voice of Hashem come through the Kruvim? But now, in light of everything we've just seen from the Sfarno, the fact that the voice of Hashem, the communication of the mitzvahs to Moshe Rabbeinu, comes through the Kruvim, makes perfect sense considering what the Kruvim represent. The Kruvim represent how the Neshama is looking to acquire knowledge of Hashem. So, of course, that would be the natural place for the Devar Hashem, for the word of Hashem, to be channeled through. The Kruvim represent exactly that. They represent exactly the idea of connecting to the Devar Hashem, connecting to Hashem's word, and, you know, through connecting to Hashem's word, ultimately connecting to Hashem himself. On this, the Sfarno comments as follows. Ki boze sharsa shchina. How does the... So the pasuk starts off, v'no adati l'cha sham. I will come there. Why? Because when we learn Torah, says the Sfarno, we bring a hashroas hashchina. We bring the shchina into our presence. V'tishre b'chol makom asher sham chachme hadar. The shchina rests in every place where the wise chachamim of the generation are to be found. Asher magamas pneim haskel v'yodoa osi. Those chachamim whose goal it is to connect to Hashem and to understand Hashem. And here he goes back to the psukim we spoke about yesterday. Hashem says, I will dwell there in the Mishkan in the same way which I showed you. And we saw at the end of the pasuk, it says, V'chein tasu, and thus shall you do. So yesterday we saw that he gave one interpretation of V'chein tasu, which, namely, you, after building the Egel, you specifically have to build this Mishkan. Had you not built the Egel, you wouldn't have to build the Mishkan. So in other words, the emphasis, according to that interpretation, is V'chein tasu atem. You, because of what you did, have to do this. Here now, the Sfarno gives what I think is a different pshat, and it's a little bit more in line with Rashi that we saw yesterday. Rashi says, V'chein tasu is Lidoros, for all the future generations. If a kli, if a keli is ever lost or destroyed, this is how you have to make it. The Sfarno also understands that V'chein tasu is Lidoros over here, but in a different way. The pasuk had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu through the Kruvim. So, V'chein tasu, not only will Hashem reveal himself through the Kruvim, but in the future, whenever the Chachmei Yisrael try to imitate what the Kruvim represent. What do the Kruvim represent? The Kruvim represent the striving to understand Hashem's word through the Torah. Whenever the Chachamim tried to understand Hashem's word through the Torah, it leads to a Hashroas HaShchino. It leads to the manifestation of God's presence. That's V'chein Tasu. It's not just a halacha for the Mishkan in the desert. It's a halacha l'dari daris. It's a halacha for all the future generations. As we find the Gemara in Chagigo Yudalid, Ato doresh b'maiser merkava u'shchino imanu u'malachay ashores melavim olsonu. When you learn, the Gemara describes over there, when the Chacham are learning the most esoteric aspect of Torah, the Maisa Merkava. So the Shekhinah comes and is found there, and the Malachim are there, and the implication of the Sfarno is, it's not just something unique to Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava happens to be the most esoteric aspect of Torah. But any time that Torah is studied in depth, with great concentration and great focus, it brings a Hashroas HaShchina, and that's what the Pasuk means, V'chein Tasu. You have the ability to do, for all future generations, that which is symbolized by the Kruvim on top of the Aron in the Mishkan and later in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael L'Fikah.